No.
Thank you very much for the kind introduction. Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity of introducing the project I'm working in or working on, Reseda, at the Institute of Information Science and Information Management, in particular, at the Cologne University of Applied Sciences. This is the research institute for the field of applied sciences. Reseda is a project that has been launched just recently, and one of the models, or one of the things I've been working on the last couple of months, is the creation, design the creation, and finally someday, in the distant future admittedly, the implementation of an international comprehensive knowledge organization system, and what you could call semantic, or even better, conceptual interoperability. And therefore I'd also like to thank Master Zeng for this very nice handover, because a lot of aspects that you just mentioned, and particularly more of the questions that arose here in the following discussion, I'm afraid this isn't over yet. Some of these things are going to pop up again, and maybe we can continue the discussion afterwards. Well, to give you a brief overview about what you can expect is a short introduction on the project, a short review on the premises and our goals. When it comes to designing and implementing this international comprehensive system, the methods we're using, and then in a second part, in some greater detail, I would like to elaborate on retrieval paradigms, various retrieval paradigms, how they sort of interact, and how different models of semantic interoperability can be attributed or can be linked to these retrieval paradigms, and to what extent or how they have to be taken into account when it comes to designing semantic interoperability. One major point, or one major tool there are, as well as we've seen in the preceding presentation, relations between, primarily between concepts and the relational structures that we are able to create by defining the semantic content, logical characteristics, and also formal specifications of these relations. And in a third part then, when having dealt with the importance and the characteristic of the various relations, also a short notice on how to organize them in inventories or taxonomies. And to finish up, to round this up, with some prospects and perspectives. As I said, we just launched it off, and there's quite a long way to go still. Some of the implementations, particularly, are going to be in the distant future, I think. Reseda is actually an acronym which works in German as well as it does in English, quite conveniently. You could translate it with representational models for semantic data. And it's basically dealing with the assessment, the analysis, and, well, first of all, primarily in the first year, a synopsis of what approaches have already been done when it comes to using representational models of various origins and various kinds in order to enrich and engineer existing indexing languages. How these relations can be typified, how they can be stratified, and the development of stratified or multi-layer inventories in order to organize these inventories. And certainly, we all do this from a purpose, coming from a library background. We do this always with the development in mind, with the development of retrieval strategies and functionalities which actually can be put on and benefit from the structures we have modeled in these maybe slightly remote and slightly abstract structures. And this, just for complementing this, in the distant future, we also intend to manage something like the establishment of an interdisciplinary research hub, coordinating and pulling together specialists from various fields like translators, terminologists, people dealing with IT. Hopefully they're going to be the ones helping us to implement all this, and creating a research hub then allowing us to bring various applications to these models, which by now still are quite abstract, and also, you already said this, maybe somewhat artificial, slightly remote from reality, but isn't that a nice place to be? So before actually starting, I'd like to just briefly go over our premises. And many of these things seem to be quite trivial, and going over them again might appear a bit like stating the obvious. Yet I have made the experience in previous presentations that a lot of misunderstandings or misconceptions regarding our models arise from the fact that people simply, as often with premises, they assume different things and they take different things for granted, and that can result in just profound misunderstandings. So we're also focusing on the conceptual level. You see, again, here you have the separation between concept and, well, whatever you call the other thing, label, name, nomen, whatever. And we do so, we focus on this conceptual level because we think it's vital for knowledge organization. Secondly, we think that the cognitive interpretation of these concepts, which is for us still primary interest, can be assisted and can be supported by, yeah, actually machines and formal models used to feed these machines or to instruct these machines. Another important thing is that we believe, merely because of practical reasons, that existing indexing languages should be expanded and enriched. Some people, in a quite derogative way, say they should be recycled. Some say they should be thrown away altogether. We think there's a lot of potential in there. Even if it's junk, you can recycle it, at least. That's the least thing you can do. Okay, coming back to the conceptual level, one of the premises is that coherences and relations, the structure formed by these relations between concepts, are vital to the understanding and interpretation, to knowledge organization, for the individual user, and that basically presenting the end user with these resources in an appropriate way, well-structured, self-explanatory, well done, will enable him to use these resources and to integrate knowledge into his own already existing cognitive structures. Therefore, it's the most, and we still think that the end user's cognitive ability and his resources, his cognitive resources, are the most important resource we have, and that we have to tap these. The goals, when it comes to creating, you have this at the bottom line, what it's all going to be, comprehensive international knowledge organization system is facilitating advanced forms as well of a focused and very targeted efficient information retrieval for example known items, but also supporting at the same time more exploratory browsing like strolls of the user in various subject fields, and therefore, I said this before, enabling the end user to integrate this new information into whatever is already there. So integrating multiple systems and guaranteeing or trying to provide complete interoperability, you could do by actually taking every single system and mapping it with every single other system. This would be nice to look at, but extremely expensive. And that's only feasible in theory. A much more practical approach would be to handle these connections only selectively, and to use, basically, if you want to go from mesh on the top left to the CSA vocabulary on the bottom left, to use these individual, just like in an IT topology, as intermediaries, and you will also finally get there and have full interoperability, semantic interoperability. This is actually an example taken from our partner projects, which done an exemplary job in, well, basically mapping all these vocabularies and offering a heterogeneity service actually implemented in search engines. And in here, we also have sort of hidden first hints towards where we are going, because basically we're suggesting a comprehensive international system with a core system acting here in the middle, with a core system acting as both switching language and an ontological spine, working as an axis and as a transit point for all traits, all interoperabilities between all languages, all satellite systems attached to it. So here you would have like classifications, verbal systems, and other not particularly specified indexing languages. That's another representation. And here you see in the very middle already a hint to what we think such a core system might be, or what function such a core system, or what kind of system might actually fulfill the function of this core system, namely a simple hierarchical, preferably decimal classification. Right now it looks as if it's going to be something like the DDC. I mean, there are not too many candidates, and we quite explicitly don't want to exclude any other suggestions or options, but out of practical considerations, DDC, because there are many projects mapping and linking DDC to various other models, is quite appealing to us. This core system should, as I said, work as both switching language and an ontological spine. We want to achieve this by actually not creating a semantic network from scratch and going all the way using all the tools that are available, but rather by a selective transfer of some few individual modeling strategies and functional principles from this huge field. Here is actually the features. I already said this should be a simple hierarchical core system, and it should then feature detailed bilateral mappings to all satellite systems involved. Doing this by using a shared inventory of standard relations. These relations should be expressed in a multidimensional way, that means containing several aspects of meaning I will focus on later. With the retrieval paradigms, actually time is pressing and time management is always critical in my presentations. I'd like to skip the first two. It's simply simple pattern matching, where we're not focusing on the conceptual level but only on the labels. As you see here, an apparent interoperability could be provided by a simple cross-concordance. This one is taken from the early stages, one has to say the early stages of the MAX project, and it hasn't reached yet the conceptual level. Conceptual queries are one step further, and they do focus on the conceptual level, and integrating actually synonyms will allow us to do conceptual queries independent from whatever labels are attached to them, independent from whatever label the user might choose to look for them. And they should include also structural transparency. The second point is particularly important. Structural and typological differences have to be taken into account, because the context, particularly when working on the conceptual level, the context of an individual concept is always important for its representation and for its proper interpretation. And it's here the interoperability is provided by actually mapping the concepts. This might be done here, as I said, an example including or involving the DDC taken from WebDewey, the matching of DDC classes with terms from the LCSH. And here you see, that's what I meant by structural transparency. The surrounding, the hierarchical surrounding the classes are made explicit, they're made visible to the user so that he can use them for navigation but also for interpreting the individual concepts properly. From conceptual query to semantic exploration and enhanced conceptual interoperabilities, we want to have detailed features of modification, like expansion of queries, conceptual exploration of subject fields, and basically the interpretation of the relations holding between all the different concepts as a whole. We're no longer looking at the concept as an isolated semantic container, but the relations between the concepts have to be interpreted. And in order to get the maximum from such an interpretative effort, these relations should be specified as detailed as possible. The requirements for that, and here we're gradually going from what is already established and implemented to, well, basically a phase where everything is pretty much still under construction and is being developed as models, abstract models, admittedly. The major requirement would be that it has to specify the various types of semantic relations in a neatly structured, preferably taxonomic relational inventory. And as this will quite automatically result in a greater amount, and particularly also in a greater complexity of this relational inventory, also the appropriate and necessary means of control and selection mechanisms that allow the user to handle these enriched vocabularies. it is a bit contrary to approaches where it's very often said, well, try to reduce complexity as much as possible, and where it pops up inevitably, try to hide it away from the user, let the machine deal with it and sort of keep it under the surface, providing preferably simple solutions. We believe that particularly when designing tools and models for specialist users, handling complexity, if it is really important and it really can benefit the user to finding it, and particularly more important, exploring the subject fields, can be tolerated and can also be should be used quite consciously as a tool and a strategy. Here you see how this might look like in an application that we have so far done with RDF, our model, and the schematic representation on the right. Actually, the terms, I think, I don't know whether you can read them. They're taken, unfortunately, from a German standard authority file for subject headings, the Schlagwortnormdatei. It is very difficult, and there again the question, to what extent is it possible to abstract the concept from actual language production or from actual existing languages, particularly when it's established indexing languages, pops up again. The fourth level is, if you want to be nasty, you say it's purely fictional still. It's knowledge exploration and the question of what kinds of advanced thematic interoperability you would have or you would like to have in order to make this possible. And we'd like to have features like thematically driven knowledge exploration, advanced thematic interoperability. That means that not only the relations and the relational structures between individual concepts forming these themes are wanted, but also that the entire themes themselves can form clusters and a more structured overall general knowledge landscape. But this requires, guess what, even more complexity and highly expressive indexing languages where not only the semantic content but also other features are being defined in a formalized way. Definition, representation and interpretation of these coherences as a result of what is being defined. Well, on the content level, on the semantic level, you need high expressiveness. That's nothing new, but we also want to have logical validity of the relational structure, and also basically these three layers here at the bottom. The semantic content has to be specified, the logical characteristics, and the formal specification. I'd like to use the rest of this presentation actually going into a little bit more detail about these three layers or these three dimensions of defining relations. Starting at the bottom, basically, formal specifications. How do you define them? First of all, I have to say, this is basically, I have to credit Rebecca Green, who did exemplary work on relations, the semantics of relations, and how they can be defined, specified, and used for information retrieval. The idea behind it is that the typological differences, and remember that this integrated system is designed to integrate particularly also typologically different systems like classifications and thesauri, just to name the two most common types, there are lots more, that these differences have to be made explicit to the user because it's quite different whether you navigate and you search in a thesaurus or in a classification. The strategies the user has to follow may differ in these systems, and they may differ, actually they do differ considerably. So the formal specifications are particularly important for inter-system relations, mapping the individual satellite systems to the core system. Secondly, the logical characteristics have to be specified. First of all, I thought, well, that's nice and easy and something very concrete. It's only a small set of logical characteristics of semantical relations which is actually relevant for retrieval and knowledge exploration. And it's not a vast set that you have to think up and then organize. But then we realized when doing so, we realized that the claim to logical validity, it makes you very contestable. Once you have defined the logical characteristics of the individual relations and how they hold in the overall system. It's very probable that somebody, preferably a logician, comes along and says, well, there, and there, and these definitions, there are flaws. So it's only a secure strategy to say, to admit from the very beginning, the logical validity of the model is limited, and it is okay that it's limited as long as it serves the retrieval purposes and the strategies that are built on these logical characteristics, like transitiveness or symmetry, to name just a few known characteristics. And on the top level of this multidimensional stratified definition, you have like the definition of the semantic content. And here you're confronted with vast inventories of highly specified relations. And one aspect or one strategy of handling this complexity is to use like taxonomic structures in order to get a grip on these inventories. They offer some also additional benefits. Hierarchically structured inventories, for example, allow for additional functionalities. And we'll round up this presentation with the prospects. As I said, the technical implementation and the design is still something that is in far future. First of all, there has to be a decision, which has already been taken as far as our models are concerned, for a suitable core system. A lengthier process will be, or may be, the agreement on a common set of inter-system and inter-concept relations, which has to be agreed upon by all participating parties. Everybody who's responsible for an indexing language would have to agree on this. The standardization of the relational inventories, and finally, the relational enrichment with the relations contained in these inventories. Well, that's it, basically. I know we've still got a long way to go. Any kind of feedback, any suggestions also, of course, any criticism is gratefully appreciated. Corporations are thought to be very useful, very necessary, particularly as far as the implementation is concerned. And your resume as a takeaway slide. Thank you very much. And also, thank you for your feedback.
Thank you. Thank you, Felix. Well, we have got time for some questions.
I was wondering if you saw Leibo C's talk yesterday, in which he explained some of the issues, he and his colleagues explained some of the issues he'd run into using EDC as a central spine. Did you see that talk, and if so, how would you handle things the same or differently?
Unfortunately, I wasn't able to attend this lecture you're referring to, but we know that the DDC is maybe not the ideal system, you see, but rather than actually sketching up a new system again on our own, we wanted to use something which is already existing, and it's admittedly rather practical reasons which would opt for DDC. I have to say there were also thoughts about maybe it could be something like UDC. It's also hierarchical. It has a very expressive notational system. It's also decimal. And something actually this morning when I heard your presentation, I remember some months ago somebody asked me, well, why not make it a faceted system? And even though this seemed to be way out of the possible, it still sort of clung with me, and it reverberated this morning when you talked about the... It clung to me. So I tried to get rid of it, but...
The UDC is, I mean, I follow up on that. I suppose I'm not supposed to comment, but many years ago when dinosaurs roamed the earth, we had I wasn't involved, but colleagues did a thing called the Intermediate Lexicon, which looked at switching languages. And one of the things that was found, which is in a way perfectly obvious, that you can never exceed the sort of density and expressiveness of the core language. Because when you switch into it, any extra detail or functionality of the source language is lost. Yeah. And it just struck me that using DDC, not that I'm here to criticise DDC, even something like Library of Congress subject headings is not going to map. I know there are mappings. but some of the pre-coordination of Library of Congress subject headings you could express in DDC, but very much of it you couldn't.
You can't, yeah.
And I don't know where that... I mean, that's a question rather than a...
Sure. I mean, one of our hopes is that with an ongoing process of the internationalisation of DDC by a number of translation projects and also localisation efforts, that this might be, at least to some degree, be improved. But I mean, it's not an ideal system, but it's mainly out of practical considerations.
The issue that Dan mentioned is the one that Levo is talking
sure,
about.
Sure,
sure. So you might want to speak to him.
Sure.
Stella,
moving on from that one, I'm puzzled by the remark, I've heard twice now that the system should preferably be a decimal one. I mean, what's the thing about decimal? Is something a statement about the notation? Or is it just saying, oh, we would like it to be limited to 10? It is a good thing to be limited to 10 at every level. Why?
Should be, if you criticise it for being a simple system, it is, I think, a good thing to keep it simple because it has to accommodate a lot of all the streams coming in. And again, it doesn't have to be a decimal system, but it's one of the simplest as a basic structure. The decimal approach is quite simple or simplistic and therefore suitable.
Simple in the sense of being widely recognised. It's simpler than that way, but otherwise 2 is simpler than 10, you know, or...
Yeah.
I don't see anything magic about 10.
Yeah. I mean, what you mentioned is maybe one of the main reasons. It's very widely spread, and it's quite intuitively to use, yes, I think so. As I said, it's not the only option, but...
To me, the main problem is that you're mapping individual concepts to a pre-coordinate scheme like Dewey, where the concepts are not isolated, but subordinated to particular disciplines. Mm. A single concept can occur in many different places in Dewey in conjunction with other concepts. And you can't really map a single concept from a thesaurus, where individual concepts are defined, into a single place in a scheme like Dewey, because it occurs in many places. You've got compounds in one and individual elements in the other.
Yep.
So the going from one to the other is not a simple transition. You can't have a simple one-to-one mapping. It's a many-to-many mapping in most cases. And this causes problems when you, especially if you're moving from one to another, then...
Sure.
You have got a lot of intervention to determine
sure.
which is the core element, which is the individual concept you're trying to move.
Sure. I mean, we're not talking about, and I think, or I hope I've made this explicit, we're not talking about simple one-to-one mappings. As I said, a lot of more information, the information and problems that you just mentioned, have to be integrated in the mapping relations themselves. And has to be made available to the user.
But
so he can interpret.
Have user intervention then when a user
sure.
wants to move from one to another? Is this handled entirely by the machine behind the scenes, or does it present
no.
options to the user and say, which of these do you want?
At least it should alert the user that he's changing systems so he can actually adjust his navigation and the interpretation to the structures of the individual systems. Otherwise, I don't see any way how he should actually get the interpretation of the individual concepts right.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
That's a really interesting and challenging